days until it finally manifested itself in such a fashion it was impossible to ignore.
When are you still tracking the year to year, year over year? What we used to get gave us a year over year. I could never quite understand.
You know how much we did last year?
Yeah, as compared to now. So I'm mostly considering consumption at this point.
We track everything every day at the plant, but the part of the reason you're only seeing, I've got data clean back to, long time, but we didn't actually start using the effluent meter or the consumption part of it until last year in March, so you only got part of that.
Oh, okay, that makes sense.
I can give you the flows at any given time, like 8 a.m. in the morning, I can give you that at any time for the last, 8 or 10 years if I dig, but those are a snapshot, and it could be when everybody just happened to turn everything off, and the flow will be down to 200 gallons a minute, or it could be when everything has everything on, it could be 1,000 gallons a minute.
So my question was, when I looked at those old numbers, and I would go, okay, year over year, we're using 500,000 gallons less of water in this time period.
Mm-hmm.
Is that because everybody turned everything off at the same time, or is that because we found the big leak out here in the Muskeg, and we plugged that? And can you use that when you start to see your consumption go up abnormally to say, we've got something in the system is blowing loose and we're losing
water? Oh, I know immediately when something gives loose.
Oh, you do?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I can tell. I've been here long enough. You can look at the wall and say, hey, we got a leak on the low pressure or we got a leak on the high pressure. Just last week, actually, Roland was in the office. Yeah. And something isn't kosher on the low pressure. And it's been going on for about 2.5 hours, and the only consumers on the low pressure are the harbors and the pool. And we were lucky we found it in about 10 minutes.
Okay.
But if the flow had elevated up, you can see when it happens on the screen, and it can tell you when it happened on the trends.
Okay. Thank you. This makes a lot of sense. I appreciate you coming down and explaining. I was always a little bit confused. Anybody else questions for me? Yeah.
not questions, but maybe further tweaks to the graph. So, if you just had the months on the bottom, you could get away. You could,
I was gonna do that, but then you're looking at a more condensed form of, a more condensed graph that would be less graphic. If you had January, February, March, April, and then you'd almost have to average it.
Well, what I mean is just January and have 4 slashes and February 4 slashes.
I couldn't figure out how to do that.
I know. You'll figure it out. You'll figure it out. Just keep playing with it. But one thing on his idea of the past years, I get that you didn't have let's see if I get this right, the consumption part in past mm-hmm. years. But if you could layer the production in past years with different colored lines.
We planned on doing that from here on out for this last year and this year.
But if we could go back maybe a couple of years.
Oh, yeah. I won't be able to do that without the influent meter data. The only thing I could do would be, I can go back into our data and say at 8 o'clock on Monday the 31st, the flow was 700 gallons a minute. And tomorrow or Tuesday on the 1st or whatever, it was 400 gallons a minute. I can plot that, but it's not representative of the actual consumption of the community.
But what I mean is, even if you don't have it for consumption, just the production, if you have the different years of production, I think that would be useful.
How far back do you want to go?
I think just maybe 2 or 3 years, something like that.
It's going to be difficult. I've got the numbers. I could probably do it. It'll take a while.
It doesn't have to be tomorrow.
That's good.
This is a huge improvement. So okay. I think the next iteration.
Wayne, the reason I like to see it is it helps. It doesn't actually have much to do with what you guys are doing. It tells me what we're doing as a community. So when I see these big, huge differences, one of the things we know is that people turn their water on when it gets cold, which is a huge waste of water. And so when I can see it graphically displayed, I kind of like seeing that too. I'm with Julia.
In that respect, you should be able to start seeing when production starts with the canneries and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
Or if it gets cold, the harbors use a lot of water.
Today.
A lot of water to keep themselves thawed out.
They're running water.
Yeah, they're just running water at the ends of each line to keep it, so they got fire flow on the docks. Yeah, just the pool sometimes uses water it's pretty tight nowadays, more so than it has been. Brian does a pretty good job. He seems like he's working out really well. So, and he's got a, seems like he's getting a pretty good handle on things. He's a little more.
Well, thank you for putting together that graph. We appreciate it very much, Wayne. We don't mean to make you stick at a computer for too long, but it does help.
No, I'll peck away at it. You'll see one eventually.
Yeah, that's right.
What's happening?
In Florida. Thanks, Wayne. Lisa?
No, I don't know if the assembly has any questions about the other reports attached to the manager's report, like the power generation reliability. Obviously, in totality, as I said, we probably have to bring back a resolution to move money out of the electric reserves to fund all of these things, since most of them were not in the budget. And if anything reaches a threshold that is above my spending authority, I certainly will bring it to you. But I wanted to give you a heads up that these are things that are being planned. So if anybody has any heartburn with these, please let me know. Otherwise, I'll direct staff to move forward with them.
Perfect. Thank you, Lisa. Anyone else for Lisa? Okay, borough clerk's file.
She put it in there.
It's in there. Okay. So we have the Alaska Municipal League Winter Legislative Conference, February 19th to 21st. And I'm going to be going to that. And the Southeast Conference Mid-Session Summit, Lisa will also be going on that. And then February 12th to 13th is the Mid-Session Summit. And that will be Julie and Lisa are going to that one. And we're hoping to do a little bit of lobbying work while we're there.
So, Mayor, I have a do-over. I apologize. I spent about an hour and a half-ish on the phone with Ray Matuszewski, our lobbyist, on Saturday, actually, going over things. And I went over the priorities and listed off some appointments I'd like him to try to schedule either during the time of Southeast Conference or AML. He's going to look at both of those. I have actually been invited to tag along with the Ketchikans. The Monday prior to Southeast Conference, they are having a discussion on the taxing issue, and they're visiting their port facilities. Ketchikan is going on a tour of their modular water plant that Juneau has installed, and I've been invited to participate in that, as has Roland and Wayne. So they will all be participating in the tour of that and the discussion of the water plant there. And then Ketchikan also has a meeting with Ada in the afternoon, and I have been invited to go to that and learn about options that Ada has with regard to they're going to talk about their shipyard, but there could certainly be applications for us for the expansion of our marine yard or the mill property potentially in the future. So I get to be a fly on the wall, and Mayor Sievertson reached out and has invited me to participate in all of those things. So I'll probably be trying to intersperse a couple of other appointments in on that Monday prior to Southeast Conference, but most of our specific meetings with administration and members of the legislature will probably happen during the time that I'm there for AML. So anyway, we're making strides, and I'll keep you apprised of what those appointments are and who we'll be meeting with, so that everybody knows what's going on and can participate to the maximum degree possible.
So. Great. Any questions for Lisa on that stuff? Great. So that was clerk's file. And mayor and assembly business. Does anybody have any reports that they would like to give to the assembly? David.
This is for the city manager. Just had quite a few people ask me about the city hall hours and stuff. So I'd like to, maybe you could do a little research on that. I know that we, something from 9 to 5, we got rid of an hour. Because, now I can't really remember the reason why we did it, to be honest with you. But now we went to 8 to 4. You know, I say it all the time, but this is a business, and I've had people ask me, why aren't you open till 5? And with the bills being paid online a lot, it just seems like we might have a little bit more time to be more public oriented and maybe look at opening from 8 to 5 and possibly just, you know,
staggering
the hours. Just an idea, but I just had some people ask me about it, and I thought that I'd bring it up.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, I want to take a few minutes of the Assembly's time to give a bit of a detailed update on what has been going on with SEPA and our power situation, particularly water levels, and also to highlight a bit of a situation that has arisen within the last week, really, with SEPA. I have a few slides that I'd like to show while I do this.
Pass that out, please. Cindy's going to pass out the email.
Cindy, can you wait? Well, I'm going to get you to give that out after.
Okay.
In October of last year, the Public Works, Royce and Mark, came to Lisa and said, hey, we're feeling like we're getting really behind the eight ball with water levels, and we are worried about where we're going to be come winter. And at that time, Lisa contacted me, and we sat down on the phone with Trey, Mark, Royce, and I, and we talked about it. And at that point, our situation was bad, not dire, but bad. And we spoke with Trey, and Trey assured us that there was multiple different ways for us to manage this situation, and that if we got into trouble, we could always get water from Swan to backship to the north end. So just quickly, power sales agreement, Swan, dedicated Ketchikan, Ta'i, dedicated north end. The interconnected communities are Petersburg and Rigel. We have first dibs on all of the water that we need out of Ta'i that has to stay there. If there's water available, it can be shipped over the intertie and sold to Ketchikan. When we heard this, Lisa had brought up about looking at some possibilities of us doing some offloading to preserve hydro. The problem with us doing that, and especially if we initiated on our own, is we would lose our ability to go back to SEPA and say, hey, you weren't able to meet our power needs. We want money to offset our diesel costs for our residents, or we want power out of Swan, one of the two. So we held off. In November, again, we were concerned. We spoke to Trey, and Trey said, hey, we've got water, don't worry, we've got this. And in October, Lisa brought up, we have some diesel generation issues. The worst time for us to have to run four diesels is in the winter. We have peaking issues. So that means that when everybody turns on their toasters at the same time, if all that initial draw brings us up over our capacity initially, and then we back down. And since we switched to so much electric heat, that's a real issue for us. And Trey gave us an idea about bringing up a cat in a box and all this stuff. We're like, okay. But again, we were definitely left with the impression, don't worry, we've got you covered. So in December, we went to the SEPA meeting in Petersburg, and we listened to the reports, and it was bad. But again, we were assured that things were going to be okay. In October, I was starting to watch initially the draft level of Swan, because that's where our water was supposed to be held. And initially, I'll show you in the graph, it went up. So I thought they were not drafting Swan low. In January, Lisa called me into her office and said, they are drafting Swan to zero, and SEPA's drying, Ta'i's drying up. And I was like, I don't believe you. I don't believe it. And she showed me, and they're drafting it to zero. And we added, in December, every year we pick where our bottom's going to be in the projects. We pick a number. And we had actually raised the number a little bit in Swan because they wanted to have a reserve there, an emergency reserve. That number got raised. So actually we were even closer to the bottom than we had first imagined. This is today's systems report. We are at Swan Lake. We're at 285, which is 5 feet away from our bottom in Swan. In Ta'i, we're at 1277, and I believe that 1260 is our bottom at Ta'i. Am I correct on that?
I think
it's 1260. There's a couple of problems when you draft these projects really low, too, and I'm not going to get into all of that, but I will say that drafting them low is not great for the projects, and it can cause some issues, and you get less energy the further you draft. Days remaining, Taiyi were at 32.8, and days remaining at Swan's 15. Now, I will say this. That's 32.8. If we drew the same amount of power out of Taiyi as the last 5 days or 7 days, that's the average. They use the last 7 days, and if there was no inflows into Taiyi. Now, of course, right now, there's very little inflows into Taiyi. It's frozen up there. It's a winter wonderland. There is some, but there's not a lot. Here's the problem. So this is, put this graph. This is not a SEPA graph. This is actually the graph of the water lake levels at Taiyi that the government has, okay? So in the simplest terms, I will show you that this is basically April, May, okay? April, May. This is the lowest that we go, April, May. April, May. These 2 years were very bizarre, but April, May, April, May. April, May in 2017. April, May in 2018. January in 2019. You can see our problem. I'm going to bring up a couple more just to illustrate it for you. This is April 2017, April 2018, and there you go, January 2019. And again, this is 2018, February, there's May. We came up, we never crested, we never got the inflows. Way back in June and July, the inflows never came. Then we started going down in November. We had a small rise over December because we had a mild December. We had a small rise, but now we are petering back down to where we usually are in April, May. And this is the last, this is from December to basically today. And you can see we get a little bit of inflows and then we go a little big one with an event and then a little bit of inflows. Or that can also be that we somehow, maybe we drew stuff from Swan, but I don't even think that happened then. And then this is the last few days here, just to show you, we're dropping. We're dropping 3 feet in 7 days. This, I wanted you to see this because this is where our concern comes in. This is called the guide curve. Mm-hmm. This is what the engineer projected that would happen in each of the projects, okay? So you can see here, that in early July, we fell off our curve like crazy. I mean, we're not even close to our curve. Here's our curve where our curve's supposed to be. We continued selling power to Ketchikan until September. Mid-September was when they finally curtailed sales to Ketchikan. Now, I think what they anticipated is that they would have flows come in late in the season and it was going to be okay. But we oversold to Ketchikan. And you can hear me say that a few more times as I go along here. This is the Swan power graph. So what this is showing us is this shows us the output of the line, reservoir level out of Swan. This is the actual power that is producing out of the units. In October, when we first called, and he said, don't worry, we're going to have power for you, and I started watching, they let it rise. And I was like, we're on the rise, it's all good. Then they started bringing it down again, and they sold it down to the bare level, and they've been selling it off to the bare level to Ketchikan the whole time, reserving nothing for the north end.
Was the bottom chart in sequence with the top one?
Yeah, so that bottom chart is actually the demand. So that's what they're producing, Patty. Now, I just have these in here, and if anybody wants them, I will give it to you. But this is 2018 op plan. And so in our 2018 op plan, we had very clearly outlined the guide curve and how we'd be following the guide curves with the board of directors signed off in 2018. 2019, they changed it a little bit to reflect this issue. And when we went into the board meeting, I didn't even notice the difference between the verbiage between 19 and 18. But they did a bunch
in my opinion, ash protecting. I'm on the board. I'm the chairman of the board. So you can imagine how I feel right now. This is our total generation laugh. This was as of January 14th. We peaked out in November. We were almost at 60 days of total generation between the two projects. We're down almost, well, we're closer to 30. Taiyi Lake level. That's what's happened from November until January. And we're going to go lower. It's going to go lower. So.
What can it go down to? 1260?
We can go to 1260. Our FERC license does not allow us to go below 1250. We have some issues up there. And I'm going to, no, I'll show you the picture right now. That's Swan Lake. The water level, typically at Swan Lake.
It's up to the trees.
It's up here.
Yeah.
And I tried to find a picture of Taiyi Lake because I was up there looking at the project early spring, I guess, and I could not believe how low it was. It was, it's just about gone. So here's what happened. Lisa and I called Trey last week, and I said, basically, you know, Trey, what the hell is going on? I thought you said you were conserving water in Swan for North End. You owe us power. And I got the wrong answer. The answer that I got was him being, and Lisa, please jump in if you think I'm being hyperbolic or I'm not depicting this correctly, but it was, the first thing I said before he even got on the phone is, I said, I sure as heck hope he doesn't say that this was, you know, something that could happen over the, it's not, at the change of the year, we're resetting what we sold to Ketchikan, and he initially did say that. And I said, no, that's not the way it works. We're not back at zero. We sold that water through the course of the year. That's a problem. And then I asked about...
just because the calendar year switches doesn't mean the lake level has magically back up to where it should be.
So what happened is the guide level, right? The guide curve's way up here. It's way off. Well, come January, now we're right on track. We're right where we're supposed to be. Well, no, we're not. We're not even close to where we're supposed to be. So anyways, at the end of that meeting, and this was us, we've initiated every meeting with Trey. Every meeting has come from Lisa and I.
And the staff at the electric department.
And the staff at the electric department, absolutely. And at the end of that conversation, I told her, you're going to ship us one of two things. You're going to ship us power out of Swan, you're going to ship us cash out of your bank account. It's going to be one of two things. But our ratepayers are not going to pay for diesel burn. This is a substantial diesel burn we're talking about. This is months of burning diesel here, right? At what do we charge per kilowatt hour for diesel?
I don't even know what it is for diesel burn.
So we have to, the North End has to represent. Now here's the interesting thing. We talked to Bob Severson today, the mayor of Ketchikan. And Bob Severson's first words out of his mouth was, yeah, we oversold to Ketchikan.
But Ketchikan only has 15 days left. What are they going to do?
They've been burning diesel since September.
And it looks like they may just stay continuously on diesel. So I'm going to read you the letter. We asked for...
I have it right here.
I want to read this into the record, but we asked for...
Steve, can I interject for just a second,
please.
If that's all right? So our staff has been, as Steve said, has been coming to me regularly since October, raising red flags about things, and has been saying, look, they're keeping Swan at net zero, so there's going to be no power to ship to us, and Taiyi is continuing to fall. And our issue here, as we've been talking about and you saw in this report, is our reliability and our ability to be able to provide 100% capacity if the lake goes. So we've been talking to Trey about, as to use Steve's term that he's used with Trey's, we need a canary in the mine. So if we're going to have to go on diesel power, you need to give us enough time so that we can react to this in order to be able to maybe get a backup generator here if that's even possible. And also, our preference is actually, our mandate to you is, you need to be doing stuff proactively so that we don't have to go on anything more than 50% power here. Otherwise, we have a reliability issue. And Ketchikan is actually facing the very same thing. They're scared to death because of their reliability, because of the situation that they're in right now. So that was part of the reason for the call, too, is to say, hey, things are going to hell in a handbasket. You have to tell us what the drop dead threshold is for you to say we're going to go on. You're going to require partial diesel power from the North End. And so that's when Trey said, well, we're resetting things, and we're going to be doing some modeling. And now that I know you, you know your preference is 50% power generation. When we had this conversation with him in October,
we said that to him in October.
So,
are you maintaining daily contact on this situation?
Oh yeah, but not necessarily. I mean, the power utilities are on a political level. I'm working my butt off with Lisa on figuring out how this is going to work.
And talking to Petersburg and to Ketchikan as well.
I called the mayor of Petersburg.
Petersburg's on board?
No.
And alerted?
I'm not sure what Petersburg is doing. Their SEPA representative does not see an issue, but he's new to the board, and so yeah. I'm not sure. Their mayor, I think, sees more of an issue. So they convened a meeting with Ketchikan, the mayor of Ketchikan, the
city manager,
and the head of the utility in Ketchikan, and the SEPA engineer and Trey. They never invited anybody from the north end to this meeting. This is the email response we got from Trey. We had a very productive meeting today with Mayor Severson and KPU management. The highlights are as follows. Ketchikan reconfirmed their support to sales to the north out of Swan Lake to help ensure that Petersburg and Wrangell will not be required to burn diesel. The specific period of focus was between now and spring runoff. It was acknowledged by the parties that abnormally dry conditions last fall and early winter did not allow Tyee to refill as expected. This created a condition that could possibly be characterized as Tyee's additional dedicated hydro being slightly oversold to Ketchikan. We can't actually confirm that this has occurred.
That's the best one.
Inflows over the next couple of months. If we oversold a little and have to ship the other direction to meet the dedicated requirements of the north, that means we successfully maximize SEPA's hydro resources. That's a great thing in a tight water year. In order to alleviate some of the risks associated with pending weather uncertainty, the group developed a plan to bolster SEPA hydro reserves until there is a clear indication that the north can make it through to the spring runoff period in early April. This will be achieved by shipping power north out of Swan when it makes the most sense for efficient use of water. Example, running the SWAT hydro units at optimal loads. This will leave more water in Tyee and effectively slow its draft rate. Reserves in Swan Lake will also be increased through KPU hydro and the supplemental diesel generation. The objective is to restore approximately 6,000 megawatt hours of the 32,000 megawatt hours of additional dedicated power sold to KPU out of Tyee over the last year. This number may be adjusted as inflows trends develop. We will be monitoring conditions very closely to ensure reserves are sufficient. Ketchikan has informed us that they have planned maintenance commitments for the coming weeks and will need to utilize Swan Lake generation during that period. Swan is anticipated to temporarily dip down to 280, and KPU is committed to maximizing their own hydro generation during this period and possibly integrating supplemental diesel to minimize draft rates at Swan Lake. Upon completion of their planned maintenance task, KPU will initiate an extended 24/7 diesel run, allowing SEPA to bank described additional system reserves for the purpose of hedging inflow uncertainty related to servicing Petersburg and Wrangell. Okay, so the end of it is mostly about KPU's diesel run. So we received this back from them after we voiced our concerns. And the interesting thing is that Ketchikan, today when we spoke with them, they were like, yeah, we were like, holy cow, are they ever selling us a lot of this power out of this lake? So we have a fundamental issue that we're going to have to deal with SEPA. And I've asked Trey to put on, I've spoken to Bob and to Bob Severson, the Mayor Severson and Mayor Jensen about having a discussion in the board about how this is managed. And that we need definitive cutoffs that when they get outside their guide curve, they've got to cut it off and say no more sales and protect the north's right. I mean, this we've never experienced this before. This is new territory. And as Carl Amelon, the city manager for Ketchikan, said in the last board meeting, this may be the new normal. The weather trends are so unpredictable at this point. This may be our new normal. And so we need to ensure that we are protecting our hydro resources. We never ran out of water before we had the intertie. We never ran out of water until we started selling power south. So the commitment is that we have to meet the north end. There was even a slight question in our phone conversation with Trey about what that means. And that was extremely disturbing to me, because what it means is all the power we need, we get. That's what it means. Does anybody have any questions on that? I have this letter to hand out to everybody.
Is that picture current?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
And how far back were you? I mean, what's the level, and how far are we from the...
This was one that was in our board packet in December.
December.
Which there's no snow. I mean, it is limited snow.
Yeah, I know.
So if I may also say, one thing that transpired at the... at the board meeting, the SEPA board meeting in December, was an affirmation between all of the communities that if there is an emergency or there is a need in one of the communities, that the other two will respond and take and assist. And what I mean by that is, Ketchikan is now getting ready to go on 24/7 diesel, so that the level of SWAN can be raised, so that power can be shipped north. Obviously, power was oversold to them, but they're having diesel reliability issues down there. And so we committed, we obviously couldn't speak for Petersburg, but we committed that if they have an emergency problem down there, that we would step up and do what needs to be done on this end if we had to go on parcel diesel, and then we would true up at the SEPA level to figure out what needs to happen. So given what's going on, it is possible, even though SEPA has said that we will not have to run diesel. If something happens in Ketchikan where they're having a reliability issue or an emergency, we need to step up to the plate to make sure that everybody's got the power they need. So
we're going to, yeah, Julie, so go ahead.
Just, you know, thinking proactively, is there something that we should do in the community to sort of alert folks that conservation or burning wood, if you have it, or things like that, might be a good idea? I mean, we hope that this is going to get fixed, but this could potentially get worse, and we haven't ever seen this kind of low level before. So
I think it's something we need to keep on Lisa's plate, to look at conservation measures. I sort of mentioned back in October,
we did go to the community and say it's a good idea to conserve, but not in a very
direct way.
Right, not in a, okay, we're not kidding. Please, we need to
rolling
conserve.
Rolling blackouts. Patty?
And when you say true up with the communities, if we have to go on diesel, do you mean you would forego the surcharge that our electric consumers are accustomed to when we go on diesel?
Well, the way... it works, I believe, and here's the interesting thing. There's no actual mechanism spelled out in the... I went back over and read the power sales agreement, the intertie stuff, and I don't see an actual mechanism for if they don't meet our firm power needs out of Tai'i. There's nowhere that says for every hour you burn diesel, you'll be reimbursed by SEPA for X amount. Because, more than likely... you know, if there's just no water there, that's mm-hmm. not their fault. But in an oversell situation, and Trey's letter is obviously hedging himself to not commit to say he oversold, slightly. So in that case, we'd have to come up with something, put it in front of the board, and have the board decide. But it's not just the cost of fuel for the diesel run. It's depreciation on our engines. It's overtime of our operators.
Right.
I mean, there is a ton of things that go into it. It's stuff breaking down. So we really need to... we need to avoid going on diesels,
mm-hmm.
number one, at all costs. So I would like the Assembly's approval for... well, what I'd like to do, I'm not going to ask for approval, but what I'd like to do is write a letter to Trey saying that we presented to the Assembly and we endorse the measures that they proposed, and that we'd like to be included in those meetings in the future.
Most definitely.
Pardon me?
Most definitely.
Okay.
Well, and I think they would appreciate if we were... I mean, they also would appreciate if we were making conservation efforts locally. I don't know what's practical for the community to save if we did a significant effort, but it's like water, when we had water issues. First of all, need to let the community know what it means, what's going on. And secondly, I mean, we have a wood stove that we could burn would if we, you know, knew it's an issue. We could choose to do that.
I don't think it would hurt.
Okay.
That's for sure.
We'll work on getting, we'll work on getting the word out in a in an appropriate manner that is.
Okay. Anything else from any other reports?
Any other presentations?
Yeah. I guess I didn't have to make that one. Okay. Board commission appointments. There is none. We'll ask the clerk to repost the planning and zoning excuse me, commission, which is a term lasting until 2021. I'd like to take a 10-minute break prior to the public hearing and then allow folks to use washroom, and then we'll go into the public hearing. So we're going to adjourn at 8:18, 10 minutes.